Now we got to talk more about the Green Bay Packers. A great piece at golongtd.com. He joins us on video, again at X and on YouTube, WI Sports Radio. He is Tyler Dunn from golongtd.com. Follow him on X at Ty Dunn. Joining us on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law, one call. That's all. Mr. Dunn, how the heck are you, buddy?
Sparky, it is so good to see you and hear you.
Yeah.
I figured after the last appearance when all of Wisconsin got to hear Ella's dance practice.
That's
it was
okay.
Only right to do this right.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. I got no issue with it. So a great, great, great piece today on a current Green Bay Packer. Not a Packer from the 80s, right? Not somebody that played under Forrest Gregg in the 80s. That's not who said this. This is a current Green Bay Packer who talks about hating the Bears, hating the city of Chicago, well, outside of the food, but hates everything else about Chicago. I'm sorry. I got so excited. I haven't bought a jersey in forever. I may go buy me a Javon Bullard jersey now, Mr. Dunn.
You know what? And I think that probably is the number one takeaway is football's a violent game.
Yeah.
It's okay to hate your rival. Where has this been? Where we haven't heard a player in Green Bay speak about the Bears, speak about football in general,
yep,
quite like this. At least I haven't. So that was really the impetus to flying down to Atlanta, hopping in that rental car, driving out to the middle of nowhere, Georgia, to sit down with Javon Bullard. Like everybody else, I heard what he had to say after that surreal, total meltdown, and my ears perked up. Wow, haven't really heard that much at all from Green Bay Packer players after epic playoff loss to epic playoff loss. I mean, hell, when they lost to San Francisco in 2012, none of the defensive players even showed up in the locker room the next day. It was just Desmond Bishop, and he was on IR answering for all the Kaepernick stuff. So, yeah, it was refreshing. So I went down there, and, yeah, he was taking it to an extreme that I wasn't even quite ready for. So thanks so much for reading, everyone.
It is an amazing story. And what you learn about Javon Bullard is that he does not care whether people like him or not. He doesn't care if everybody wants to hate him in Chicago or hate him wherever the case may be. His deal is to play with violence and to pretty much go through people when he's making a tackle and to make a big hit. And there's a story in there about him versus A.J. Brown of the Eagles from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and I think that really you can take it all the way back. Well, he started playing football when he's age 5, right? He's putting on the pads very young, and he's always the little guy on every team playing with his older brother. But anyways, high school football.
Poor guy.
Start there. Yep. I mean, he's returning a punt, and he sees it's a fake. He knows exactly where that receiver is going to get the ball. 15-yard dead-out sprint. I talked to his high school coach about this play, and he goes, wait a minute, I got to send it to you. Text me the clip. Says he decapitated the kid. Didn't literally decapitate him. There wasn't a skull rolling around the
field
back
then. They thought he
might
have killed him is what I read.
It's like he split the guy in half. It is vicious. I linked to it in the story. So this is somebody who has always attacked football a certain way. All, you know, crossing that line. Because I feel like if you're always just going to be hesitant and tentative and dance around that line like we've seen so often out of defensive players in Green Bay, that doesn't win in January.
Correct.
Right. And so credit to Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Packers, for taking a risk on a Javon Bullard, somebody who took out Marvin Harrison Jr. in the CFP semifinal and had 22.1 million people watching. All of Columbus wanted to kill the guy.
Well, they thought it was targeting. And then when you look back at the film, you realize that was a clean hit. It was just violent.
That's what's wild about Javon Bullard is you watch these highlights. His coach made this point too. And in real time, it looks dirty. It looks vicious. It looks like he should get thrown out of the league. And then you slow it down, and he is able to find that bullseye, find that target zone that is legal, even though it's shrinking every year, and blast you. So that's what he did to A.J. Brown as a rookie, week one. A.J. Brown stalking him down the field, the second level, and Bullard just lights him up, stares down at him, shakes his head. And so, yeah, it is refreshing because if you were to take this big picture, Ted Thompson, God rest his soul, did a lot of good things as general manager. He didn't really take a risk on a player who brings this kind of an edge, brings this kind of a temperament, tells you he's going to send you in tomorrow, and then does exactly that.
That's the other thing. Talking with Tyler Dunn, golongtd.com. Go read this amazing piece. It's long, so I have a cup of coffee with you, but it is so entertaining, and you will come away with a whole different perspective. I'm telling you, Javon Bullard could have played in the 80s for Forrest Gregg, and Forrest Gregg would have absolutely loved Javon Bullard, because these are the type of crazy guys, like Chuck Cecil back in the day, those type of guys, which is what Javon Bullard is kind of like at every level. This is how he plays. And he brings up the idea of he doesn't talk a ton in the locker room one way or the other, but when he does talk, everybody shuts up and listens.
Right. I think as a rookie, he was incredibly frustrated with his role. He thought that, you know, it was put this foot forward, put this foot backward before the snap, keep your eyes there, put your eyes there. And it was too robotic, too mechanical.
Yep.
And the way he put it is, but I'm a rookie, so I effing can't say a thing. And so he didn't say anything to the media because, you know, he knew he'd be too honest. Didn't really say much to coaches. And then year two, when he really started watching film and trusting his instincts, you know, this is somebody that grew up on Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, just being creative out there. Look, only Kyle Hamilton gave up less yards per reception. So in the slot, I mean, he was locking guys down in addition to making plays. I think as he started balling out and playing, he started to pick and choose his spots. I'll say this too. I was talking to a coach on that Packers staff who said, after reading that story, we want Javon Bullard speaking up more. This is what our team needs. We need somebody who is going to call out that Bears game for what it was, a catastrophe.
Yeah, but
a
even
disaster.
But even
to gave this, it away.
Even to this day, he said, we're the better team. I mean, like, they didn't win that game. We essentially lost that game because we were doing things that we normally would never do in a situation like that.
Yeah, and he said, like, in the heat of the game, the heat of the battle, when they're up 21-3, he's looking into the eyes of these Bears players and seeing fear and dread and worry and concern. And he said, in that moment, we got to know how to take MFers out.
Correct.
Said a lot of things I can't necessarily say on the radio.
There was a lot of swearing in this interview. Yes, there was. Yes, there was a lot of swearing. Yes.
If anything, it was toned down. This is the way the guy talks. Right. I love it. But he said, we're on y'all bleep, and you're acting like you MFers don't even want to play no more. But we need that instinct to kill MFers' hope. Like, no, not today, not tomorrow. Y'all through. We're going to beat your bleep. I don't think we've got that as a team yet, but we've got another year to prove it.
So Gannon the guy then?
There it is blunt Gannon, language.
Okay, but is Gannon the guy to take that and light some gas underneath that fire and spread it into the rest of the locker room? Halfway to me, again, not being a defensive means, halfway to me, nice guy, like LaFleur, kind of chilled a little bit, could get up a little bit, but really wasn't going to be that fire starter, right? He wasn't going to be that guy. Will Gannon be that guy that preaches, we want to play like this dude. We want to have the mentality that this dude has. This is how everybody needs to go about our business going forward. Is he going to push that agenda, or is he going to kind of just lay back, we'll see what happens. We'll see who goes with it. Because not everybody mentally is built that way. And in the story, he talks about, you know, shootings and everything else going up when he was growing up of just, you know, survive in advance, and talking about the fact of they get together now and they'll play games, and before you know it, people are all mad at each other, swearing, hollering, and yelling because everybody is so competitive in his family and friend group. That's how it ends up being. I mean, that is a mentality that has grown over the course of many years. That's not something where you can just automatically put it into a dude's brain into the locker room that doesn't have it, Tyler.
You put it perfectly. I think Dan Campbell, Mike Vrabel, you know, pick your alpha head coach, they would say the same exact thing. You can't just go to CBS, buy yourself some toughness pills, and become somebody that's just going to, you know, pancake people on a football field.
Oh, I would have bought those a while ago if those were available. Yeah.
You know, Javon Bullard, like you said, growing up in Milledgeville, he'd be at a house party, at a block party. He said, you'd look in the corner of your eye, and there's somebody with a baggy shirt, sagging pants, you know, they're carrying a firearm. And as soon as he starts whispering to somebody else, you better book it. And you kind of learn the bob and weave. Unlike Rickon from Game of Thrones, I must say.
Yes.
Going in a straight line, and that was his demise. Javon Bullard said he learned to zigzag, bob and weave, literally avoiding bullets while he's taking out all these guys on a football field. So you're wired that way. A, if you're a coach, You don't want to pull that back. And Javon gets into all of this in the story. You don't want to be putting up all these guardrails and caution tape and construction cones in your mind on a football field, in your defensive players' minds. And I do wonder if Matt LaFleur does some of that. So to me, it's not necessarily a Jonathan Gannon question. I think Jonathan, we saw it in Arizona. He got right into a teammate's face and got into trouble for it. So I think he is a fiery DC in that mold that you're kind of describing. But Matt LaFleur is the head coach. Teams take on the personality of their head coaches. He's been brilliant. His development of Jordan Love has been about as good as we've seen in the modern NFL with where he was, where he is now. Innovative, X's and O's, all of that. There's no question in all of that. But then you look at all of these leads that they blow. You look at giving up, 307 on the ground to Baltimore, blowing a 10-0 lead to Cleveland, losing to Chicago the first time when your win probability is, 98, 99% at one point, and then giving up that 21-3 lead. That speaks to the DNA of your football team. So, we get into this in the story with some examples. I think there are times in practice, maybe you should practice how you want to play. You can't just put a switch on Sunday. You've got to bring that energy day in and day out those other days of the week.
There he is, Tyler Dunn. I'm telling you, it's a great piece. Go longtd.com, learn all about Javon Bullard, and then go buy his jersey because he hates the Bears as much as you and I hate the Bears. Follow him on X at Ty Dunn. Thank you so much for coming on, dude. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me, Sparky. Appreciate you.